Greetings. You're listening to Christian Radio WYYC, York, Pennsylvania, presenting the 15 Minutes of the End Time Matrix, hosted by CephasMinistry.com, P.O. Box 351944, Westminster, Colorado 80035. Phone is 303-452-1104. Your host is Rita Williams. People always ask, what does the word Cephas mean and how do you spell it? Read John chapter 1 verse 42 and 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 5. The Bible states Cephas represents a stone. Cephas is spelled C-E-P-H-A-S, C as in Charles, E as in Erna, P as in Paul, H as in Hans, A as in Alpha, S as in Sam. The reason I have to bring up the preliminaries again is not to bore you, but to let newcomers know what this program is about. Matrix is most likely another unfamiliar concept if listeners have not seen the movie Matrix. Webster's Dictionary states the following. Matrix is something like a mold or womb that gives form, foundation, or origin to something else enclosed inside of it. Matrix can apply to many concepts such as womb, for instance, in which a baby is conceived. The mother's body nourishes the growing child but has no idea what kind of individual the child is going to be once it's outside of the womb. The program will be about exposing the matrix, and something that is inside the matrix are the listeners to this program who may or may not be caught up in the matrix. Your eternal life could be in jeopardy if you don't pay close attention to this program. It will be packed with information that you need to know to see if you are the something that is inside the matrix. The programs will be downloadable at cephas-radio.com. The reason for the broadcast is Pope Francis. He suddenly came on the scene and seemingly like a messiah attracts people of faith, interfaith, Hollywood, media, and even atheists to himself like no other pope has before. Why is that? Who is Pope Francis? I'll get to that later. This to help you understand why we are where we are today, I have to go back in history to show the undercurrent that may pull people suddenly into the abyss. Even though Francis tells people that he doesn't have much time left before he will die, he travels from one country to another. To his own amazement, he is greeted by thousands expressing euphoria, and many have moved to tears, hoping that he will be the acting savior, even though his message is about worldly issues like global warming, poverty, and tolerance, and especially climate change. Most believers are pro-Israel. Pope Francis is pro-Palestinians, who are Muslims. What I have noticed recently is Christians seem to go the same way. Why are they moving in the direction of Islam? Do listeners know that Christianity and Islam have developed a new movement named Chrislam? In spite of the fact that Christians are taught in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 15, and what concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has he that believeth with an infidel? In one of the last books of the Old Testament, the book of Zechariah, chapter 2, verse 1 through 13, King James Version, the prophet describes what God told him. Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls for the multitude of men. God promises that he will be the glory in Jerusalem again. The Lord told Zion to come home because he wants them to know him and rejoice because he plans to live in the midst of them. The verses end with, "And the Lord shall inherit Judah his portion in the Holy Land, and shall choose Jerusalem again. Be silent, O all flesh, before the Lord, for he is raised up out of his holy habitation." We have just experienced the fact that Jerusalem has become an international city with the sanctions of the United States. And I will be continuing on. I'm going to get off the subject a little bit to prove to you what's going on today in the United States.
No. He needs to be told no firmly. Now, I've shared with you a plan to say no in the way of showing up in Washington, D.C. several days before he gets here. That would be September 21st. He's coming September 23rd or so. And planning to stay 2 or 3 days as of right now. We need to be there in great number saying, no, you don't. We need to say no to this Pope guy who thinks he owns us. He really does think he owns us, and I can prove it to you, and I have in several videos. So I'll not take the time to go through all that right now. But look up the Unum Sanctum of 1302, written by Pope Boniface VIII. It says, read the very last sentence of that thing. The person who holds the office of Pope, they think, says what goes for the whole world, including all the kings, all the governors, all the presidents, all the governments. They think they control you. And you and I have been acting like they control us. Let me show you what the Pope plans to say when he comes here. This is a document, thank you for the one who sent me this. It's in westernjournalism.com. I'm looking for a date on here. May the 19th, 2015. The title of this article is "Vatican Advisor Says America's Founding Document is Outmoded, Reveals Global Game Plan." And this article says, top Vatican advisor Jeffrey Sachs says that when Pope Francis visits the United States in September, he will directly challenge the American idea, and that's in quotes, of God-given rights embodied in the Declaration of Independence. Why does he want to challenge that? Easy. Because we're saying no to him. We're saying, hey, you think this is a Sesta KV trust, and look up Sesta KV Act of 1666 if you want to know what I'm talking about. They think that they've got us involved in this trust thing, where they're the grantor, where the Pope, the Vatican, UN, it's all the same thing in my mind, where they're the grantor, where God has made them the grantor of all things earthly, of all things of earth, on earth. The land, the people, the resources. Yeah, they think they get that from Scripture. Okay, we can go into that in another video, and we probably should. Anyway, they think that God has given the Pope the right to make us trustee of this land that we're looking at behind me for them, for their use. And there was a time when they thought the Declaration of Dependence, yeah, that's kind of what it is, of Independence was okay because it didn't mention land. And they're really interested in making money. They're really interested in our land. And they're willing, to let us be on it and to harvest their resources for them. And that's exactly what's happening, folks. It's working exactly the way they wanted it to work. That's why he feels he can say what he's saying. Sachs, the special advisor, or the Vatican advisor, a special advisor to the United Nations and director of the Earth Institute at Columbia University, is a media superstar who can always be counted on to pontificate endlessly on such topics as income equality and global health. This time writing in a Catholic publication, he may have gone off his rocker, revealing the real global game plan. The United States, Sachs writes, in the Jesuit publication America, is a society in thrall to the idea of unalienable and some unalienable. It's unalienable rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But the urgent core of Francis' message will be to challenge this American idea, in quotes, by proclaiming that the path to happiness lies not solely or mainly through the defense of rights, but through the exercise of virtues, most notably justice and charity. These extraordinary comments, which constitute a frontal assault on the American idea of freedom and national sovereignty, Sachs has made it clear that he hopes to enlist the Vatican in a global campaign to increase the power of global or foreign-dominated organizations and movements. Sachs takes aim at the phrase which comes from America's founding document, the United States Declaration of Independence, that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. These rights sound good, Sachs writes, but they're not enough to guarantee the outcome the global elites have devised for us. Global governments, he suggests, must make us live our lives according to the international standards of development. The United States, Sachs writes, or in the United States, we learn that the route to happiness lies in the right of the individual. By throwing off the yoke of King George III, by unleashing the individual pursuit of happiness, early Americans believed they would achieve that happiness. Most important, they believed they would find happiness as individuals, each endowed by a Creator with individual rights. While he says there is some grandeur in this idea, such rights are only part of the story, only one facet of our humanity. Sachs' view is that global organizations such as the UN must dictate the course of nations, and individual rights must be sacrificed for the greater good. One aspect of this unfolding plan, as outlined in Sachs' book, The End of Poverty, involves extracting billions of dollars from the American people through global taxes. What have I been telling you, folks? And I'm going to put a link to this below this video. You'll be able to see for yourselves what is said. If you want links to show you the veracity of what I'm saying, how the Pope feels like it owns us, I did an article in my blog, risetogether.weebly.com, called Who Runs the USA? Take a look at that. I'll post it below this video, and it gives you a little rundown on a little bit of our history. And one of the things that I point out is that in the Treaty of Paris, which is the treaty that supposedly ended the Revolutionary War, which we mistakenly tell our children we won, lays it right out. This is September 3rd, 1783. This is the Treaty of Paris, which is sometimes called the Treaty of Peace, between the United States of America and His Britannic Majesty. I'm just going to read the very first few lines. In the name of the Most Holy and Undivided Trinity. Okay, that's in the name of God. It having pleased the divine providence to dispose the hearts of the most serene and most potent Prince George III, by the grace of God, King of Great Britain, France, and Ireland, Defender of the Faith, Duke of Brunswick and Luneburgh, Arch-Treasurer and Prince-Elector of the Holy Roman Empire and of the United States of America. And I don't need to read any farther.